Our first lesson today is from Psalm 100. It's a call to praise the Lord our God, and you can't help but praise and worship him. We've seen what he has done through our first 10 years, so here are the words. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And our second reading today is from Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Hear the words from Paul. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Here ends the reading.
Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. You may be seated. Today's sermon will be delivered by Pastor Becky by way of Zoom video. She is under self-quarantine because she's exposed to someone that tested positive for COVID.
Good morning. Shalom. So good to be able to gather with you in the way that we can, even though I can't be physically present with those of you who are at the ministry center. I am just amazed at who our God is, that he always finds a way to connect and to encourage his people. My mind keeps going back to Shalom's first day of worship 10 years ago. The community center had gotten reserved under the heading family reunion. We weren't sure at that point what was going to come of what we thought God was calling us to. As we've watched the slideshow of some highlights from the last 10 years, I am amazed at what God has brought about. So many lives connected together to honor him, to praise him, to enjoy life together because we are his. Those words from Psalm 100 just keep striking me with just joy and with comfort. Our Lord, he's got us. We are his people. We're the sheep of his pasture. He's the one who's promised to provide for us and promised to go with us and promised to lead us. And as I look at what's happened over the last 10 years, we just see how faithful God has been to connect up lives together, even now I'm looking at the screen and I see names who have been here from the beginning, and I see names that God has brought in along the way. Again, our God who connects us together. He knows each one of us by name, and yet doesn't want us living in isolation. Wants us to be a people created by him, formed by him, living with him and living for him. So our words from Jesus in John chapter 15. You did not choose me, but I chose you. There were people who made the decision to gather together, to form a congregation. But that didn't happen just out of isolation and out of individual good idea. Most of us believe that it was God who gave us the will to form together as a new congregation, one that was going to be really intentional about community. So we made community a part of our name. One that was going to be very intentional, that we would be a community formed and marked by prayer. It's one of the things we couldn't really show in the slideshow, but prayer has been so essential to the activities and to the plans and to the sense of community for our congregation over all of these years. We wanted to be a congregation really rooted in the Word of God, taking seriously this gift of the Holy Scriptures and as the Word of God, not just what we wanted to hear, but what is it that God wanted to say in shaping us, in challenging us, in comforting us. And we wanted to be a congregation filled with and led by the Holy Spirit, which has meant that over the years, we haven't always been sure what lies ahead. That is still the case. And as we look back over that slideshow, there were so many faces that God brought in for a period of time who were so significant to the shaping of our community, the gifts and the callings that they brought and they shared. Some who aren't with us in life in this world anymore, who've gone on to the fullness of life with Jesus. Some who have moved away. Unfortunately, some who have slipped away, and some who've left in offense. There have been times of joy, and there have been times of sorrow. There's been times of challenge and conflict, and there's been times of just great rejoicing and enjoying the gift of community. And that shows us that we have been a true community with one Lord and one faith, one God and Father of us all, and yet lots of individuals who have known our need for the love, the mercy, the grace of God. Another thing I want to point out that's in our John reading, Jesus says, you did not choose me, I chose you. That you is plural. So there is a calling on each one of us to come and follow him, but it's a call for us to be formed into a community together. And the work that God wants to do in and through us can't be done with us in isolation. We need the connection with other believers, and we need the support from other believers, and we need to give our support to other believers so that we can have the impact in the world that God wants us to have. We had only one slide of missionaries, but there was another slide that showed some of the different missions that we have been connected with and partnered with over the years. Didn't go back and look at exactly how much that has been, but because we have linked together as a congregation in finances, we have been able to bless financially ministries all around the world. But the issue isn't the money. The issue is lives touched and lives changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, the love of God that brings forgiveness and healing and reconciliation and strength. And we've gotten to be part of that. Things that we get to see up front in daily life and things that we get to hear about through mission reports locally and around the world. Because we're knit together, not just operating individually. Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Again, I want you to hear that that is a plural you. Yes, the Lord loves you individually, but the Lord loves the people that he has formed. The Lord loves this congregation. As the Father has loved me, Jesus says, so I have loved you. Just let that reality sink into you. Loved to the same extent, in the same way that the Father loves Jesus, we are loved. And again, I want you to hear that. We are loved together. And that's why it's so important that since God loves this congregation that he's formed, and he loves each individual within it, that we are to love one another. That is his command. Why is it his command? Because it ties in with what he is doing and what is so important to him. Individuals are important to him, and his church is important to him. Now, Shalom is a congregation. It is a part of the body of Christ. We are a microcosm, but we are not the whole. And so here I want you to understand this. Even though some of those we loved are no longer with us in the world, they are still partnered with us as they are at the throne of God, because the love of God does not come to an end, and our connection to one another doesn't come to an end just because we are physically apart. Those who are at the throne are sometimes called the church triumphant, while we in this world are called the church militant, but we are all still the church. And of course, some who formerly worshiped and served along with us are now connected in other congregations. That is a blessing to the other congregations, though sometimes a grief and a loss for us. But you see, we're not just about building our church, our congregation. We're called to build and support and join in the kingdom of God. And so where other believers are connected in other congregations, we might miss their presence and their gifts among us, but they're not lost from us. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. We are not in competition with other congregations. We are all in this mission together. Our concern, though, is for those who don't yet know the love, the forgiveness, the healing, the reconciliation that is available to each one in Jesus Christ. There are those who don't know, who've never heard, and there are those who've known and yet have slipped away. And the Lord calls us, our mission, to reach those who aren't connected, to bring restoration, reconciliation between them and God, between them and other believers. And so we have an ongoing mission to love the world that God so loves, to love one another enough that we can work together in a way that reveals the love of God to this world, to love one another the way Christ has loved us, so that the world looks at us and says, wow, there is something different about that gathering of people so that our witness in the world points to God, but also points to God's work that is still transforming each one of us. The command of God, the promise of God, that we are loved. The command of God, that we love one another. And then another promise of God. Whatever you ask in my name, I will give you, or it will be done for you. Chapters 14 and 15 and 16 have this idea of just interwoven throughout, repeated over and over. The Lord invites us to partner with him, using his strength and his resources and his strategies and his wisdom and his heart, his compassion. Not to do what we want to do what he wants to do. To restore a relationship that was broken by sin. To restore lives that have been harmed by life in a broken world. To connect people to the one who is life for eternity. So you see, Jesus says to us, you did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. I want you to just think about this. How often have you picked fruit or bought fruit and had it sit in the fridge or on your kitchen counter and discovered that naturally fruit doesn't last? But we are called to bear fruit that will last. What is that fruit? It is the love, the power of God himself touching, changing, saving lives for all eternity. It's an opportunity that we cannot accomplish on our own. We can only accomplish by staying connected to the vine. How do we stay connected to our Lord, our life source? Well, Jesus says in one place, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. But in John 15 here, he says that we remain in him as we obey his commands. And his command is this: love one another. Love as he has loved, and love with his love. It's a challenge, because living in relationship always has the risk of hurt. There's the hurt when relationships come to an end through life coming to an end, physical life coming to an end. The cost of loving deeply sometimes means grieving deeply. But there's also the pain of relationship when there is misunderstanding, when there are choices made that are hurtful, sometimes thoughtlessly and sometimes intentionally. And so we hear this in our reading from Ephesians, that we are to live a life worthy of our calling. What does that worthiness look like? It looks like being humble and gentle and patient and bearing with one another in love. Or as I think it was Marlene on Tuesday in text study, her translation said, making allowances for one another's faults. Because if there's anything we know as the church, we are a people who needed the forgiveness offered in Jesus and still need the forgiveness and still need the work of the Holy Spirit, transforming us, changing us, freeing us from our selfish nature into being people who live with the heart and the ways of God. We're never done with that transformation. Praise God, He's never done with us. He never gives up on us. He is faithful to us in every situation and throughout our lives and beyond our lives, faithful through every generation. And so we get to bear this fruit, this love, this power, this mission of God to reach, to bless, to heal, to strengthen, to restore, to reconnect lives with the Lord, now and forever. We get to do that, practice it within the community of our congregation, and we get to practice it beyond our congregation, out into our families, out into our community, out into the world, living for the kingdom of God revealed in this world and established forever. I don't know what the next 10 years will be. I do know that God will be faithful in it. He'll be leading us. He'll be challenging us. He'll be changing us. To God be the glory. Amen.